I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our current podcast series focuses on one of radio's greatest and most special assets, our on-air talent. As we like to say, radio is the original social medium, and its on-air personalities are the original social media influencers. With many of these radio influencers having greater reach and followers than that of other media, what really makes them special is they have incredibly strong ties to local communities. And that's based on a foundation of trust and emotional connection. As individuals who entertain, educate, and inform, radio influencers have the power to impact and affect behavior and brand consideration. On a daily basis, they create these environments that connect the audiences with businesses to help drive brand awareness and increase sales for those businesses, products, and services. In our last episode of the series, we hear the conversation I had with the incredible Ellen Kay of iHeart, morning host on Coast 103.5 in Los Angeles and syndicated on Saturdays across the country. Well, it's not every day that I have the opportunity to sit down and talk to the number one woman in radio today. That's Ellen Kay.
You are so
Ellen,
sweet.
It is an honor for me to be here with you.
The honor is all mine. Thank you so much.
I know you've told this story over and over again, but for the few that don't know it, can you share a little bit about how this all started for you?
I would love to, yes. I was studying at Purdue and I was in some serious classes. I really dreamed of being a large animal veterinarian because I grew up in Indiana. We have farms everywhere. And so I went 2 years into it. I was struggling with classes. I knew that I really had to ace my classes if I was going to get anywhere, even to get into vet school, which would have been an additional 5 years after school. But I loved school. I love the animals. I love my classes until I had to go out in the field and actually practice real veterinary medicine, vaccinating chicks and chickens, pigs and goats. We had a farm. I went to Purdue. We had a farm outside of campus and we would go there at all hours of the day in case of live births. And so it was my turn to assist and a baby calf being born. And I put on these big plastic gloves. They go all the way up, you know, to here. And I went in there and knew what to do. We'd already trained on, you know, like dummy cows. And I helped pull this beautiful baby out. And it was an emotional moment. I cried and it was a cold winter day. I got back on the bus to go back to my dorm and my arms were warm for like an hour and a half after that. Cause it was while I was in there, I had to also know what I was feeling.
Sure.
So they don't, you know, they have you take your time. So my arms were warm and I called my dad, who was a professor at the school. And I said, Dad, I have to change majors. I don't think I can do this. And I'd also seen some, you know, sick animals and it's just an emotional job. So I wanted to do something fun. So my dad said, go find classes, take classes that are fun. And that's where I met radio in college. I went outside the campus to go to a commercial station, WXUS. We played rock, US 93. Right. And my first boss was a female, Carolyn Gracie. She hired me as an intern and then she hired me for overnights. And I couldn't get enough. I have to tell you, I sat with every jock and every day part, absorbing everything. So the time came when our midday person, who was Carolyn, was sick and she said, you know what to do? You are doing the lunch hour. It's the countdown. So it was vinyl at the time. That dates me, but I felt confident. I went in and had a blast and she gave me a full-time job. So I finished school with full-time radio and full-time school, just kind of juggling that.
And at home. I mean, that's amazing. You just got the first job that you went after.
Well, yeah, you know, I think there's a key to that too, because I see it here. Even today at iHeart, you can always spot the ones who love it, right? And the ones who really want to learn and can't get enough. We're so lucky. We have so many great incoming people and those who want to be on the air. You always sense it, mm-hmm. that this is something they really want to do and really love. And, you know, you also take all the jobs, all the overnights and the weekends and the standby and, you know, all of that. So
do what you have to do.
That's what I did. And I'm so happy that I did do it. We also had a really fun, you know, the people there too. It was just a really fun crew. It was a small, small rock station. We were in a mall and we became family. It was meant to be, I think.
So how did you get to Los Angeles?
So I completed school. I kept that job. And then I looked for bigger pastures and I got a job in Indianapolis, which to me was the big city, but it was part-time overnight. So I also got a second radio job middays in Columbus, Indiana. So I would just drive back and forth.
Oh, wow.
And it was,
using the same name on both stations?
I was Ellen Thomas because my maiden name's Tho. So, it was Ellen Thomas. We just went to something that was easier to pronounce. And yeah, I did. It was AM radio for the middays and then overnights on FM in Indianapolis. And I would, again, after I'd worked a 6-hour shift whenever I could, I'd hang out and help the morning show. Mm. And I would print things for them. I'd run and go get them coffee. I'd hang out, just watch. I would just watch. In fact, when I started here at Coast, I called Elvis Duran. I said, I'm going to come watch, because I'm going to be doing this on my own now. And I already knew how to do things on the Seacrest show, but I really wanted to see Elvis. How do you do it? How do you do it?
Right.
And I was going to be in New York anyway. So I watched Elvis, you know, I did it with Ryan for many, many years, Rick Dees before that. So it's just one of those things. You can learn so much by just being in a studio.
Absolutely. But then, you know, being a co-host with two very prominent air personalities, if you will. Yeah. And now you are literally the first lady of Los Angeles radio and you're just killing it.
Oh, thank you. It makes me emotional. I mean, I had really great training ground, right? I Rick Dees, he hired me from San Francisco. I was doing a midday show there and I auditioned. I sent tapes. I met his producer at the time, Jack Silver, at a party. And he said, well, we're looking for someone, come down, audition. And I think I did the weather with Rick and had some laughs. And I didn't get the job right away. You know, there's some time before they could fill it, but I put myself out there for sure. And then when I came to LA, it was just learn as you go, get in the pool and swim. I was a competitive swimmer. So it's the same thing. When I used to teach swimming lessons, they would say, some kids would just say, just put me in there. I'll figure it out. And I never liked that, but that's kind of what I liken it to.
So talk about your show. What makes it different? What do you think about when you're on the air?
I'm so happy you asked that question, because I was asked that question by so many male executives before I started. What is your show going to be about? What are you going to call it? What are you going to do? I had some things in mind.
Are you going to do it all by yourself?
Right. Are you going to need a lot of assistance? And the answer is yes. But I wanted to have a purpose-driven show that would enhance people's lives. I wanted it to be fun. I wanted to be able to give away money or trips or both. I wanted it to be like what I did in San Diego at B100. Our tagline, our slogan for the station is music, money, and fun. Mm. And I've always thought that's a great combination. I'm coming over to this great station, Coast, and I want to have a lively, fun show. I love connecting with listeners live. And so that's what we set out to do. But I also wanted to be able to do something for people. So we started doing our show in the lobby of Children's Hospital so that we could, you know, raise money for the hospital. That was after my son broke his arm. We did meaningful makeovers for cancer survivors. My mother passed from cancer. So we teamed up with a cosmetic company. She named a lipstick after my mother. And we would take patients in the midst of chemo and give them makeovers. And it feels so good to be able to use a radio show to give that, you know, I think from there on, that remained our sole purpose is just to give. We love the community that we built and that was already existing with Coast. And we've syndicated now our Saturday show with my partner, my co-host, Ryan Mano. And we built a family. And I think that that's what it takes. It really does. I've been so lucky to work in family style environments. I grew up in a big family. Rick D's show was like a family. Seacrest, we lived across the street, family. And so now I feel like I have my own family, or at least a family with my name on it.
Well, I have a feeling that, you know, it's not always like that. And I think obviously you have a lot to do with making that culture feel like a family.
Well, thanks for saying that. You know, it's a thousand things, right? I always say a radio show is a thousand things, and there's so many nuances. And I really believe and feel and always have that we're transferring emotion every day, whether it's happy, sad, celebratory. We're celebrating the World Series victory now for the Little League in El Segundo. It's so many shared emotions. And I can remember talking to Seacrest. I went on a show to promote my show about a year in. I said, I've never cried more than I have on Coast. And it's tears of joy, but also just sharing lives with other people. And I feel like I've been given the freedom to do that with the family I have here and with this format and with this show. And so, I don't know if it's a woman man thing. I felt like, you know, we did that with the D show and with Seacrest as well, but I feel like maybe being a mother and a wife, I might have a, you know, obviously a different approach to things or a different observation.
Well, you certainly have an amazing connection with your listeners.
Oh, thank you. I love them.
Well, they love you. And you know, there's so many great stories, but I'm sure, can you share a story or two about a connection you've had with your listener and how you have felt that connection so strongly?
Yes. And this one goes way back to 1990 when I first began with Rick Dees. We had this listener who would always call. His name is John, and we went with John through him getting engaged, getting married. Fast forward years later, I'm on with Seacrest. He's still calling. You know, he's still a KISS listener. He's following. Ellen, I've been with you since Rick D's. I love to hear that, because then I feel like I'm growing in their lives. We're growing together. I mean, I've given birth. My son's now 21. And so this guy called us when I started Coast, and he said, I haven't talked to you for a while. I just want to let you know that I had a daughter and I named her Ellen.
Oh,
because we've been through so much together. I was like, are you kidding me? No, you didn't. It must have been your sister's name or something like that. Maybe it was. I don't know. But that just made me feel so even more connected to, you know, some of these listeners who through the years have grown up with me, or we've done it together. I always ask when they say, I grew up listening to you, because I get that a lot. And at first I'm like, oh gosh, wow, is that harsh? But I take it as a compliment. I just say, I hope I raised you well. Were you in a car seat?
There's also a whole new
driving?
Generation of listeners that have found you and have connected with you as well.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Bob Pittman about this. I said, you know, Bob, I get these callers, people who are now women, they're adult women who have children, their children are in the car seat, and they were in the car seat. And so radio does that in such a beautiful way. We're a live connection. We're the only way where you could literally call in, you can text in, you can, you know, talk back to us on the app, and you're in our studio. And where else can you do that? So I was telling Bob this story, but I just get so many calls like that. I would listen to you growing up, or I was on my way to high school every day. And there, that connection, I think, is just irreplaceable. You can't duplicate it on any other medium. You know,
well,
it's
as
just
you're
that
a storyteller, it sounds like your listeners are sharing their stories with you as well.
Oh, I love their stories best of all. You know, some of the stuff we look at each other after we hear from, you know, different people, you cannot write this stuff. It's like, you know, some are sitcoms, some are tragedies, but reality is there's nothing like it.
You mentioned they're connecting with you in so many different ways. How has social media changed what you do?
I think it's made us closer and more connected, because now we just go live. We can go live on Instagram and Facebook. We're right there. We're getting live questions. They see in the studio. I never walked in a radio studio until I was in college. I think I was 19, And so we can bring them in and show them how this all works. Mm-hmm. And we have our tripods and all of our lighting, and each one of us on this show, on the Ellen K. Morning Show, is so different. You know, my co-host producer, Ryan, is single. He's going to move in with his girlfriend. My producer, Darlene, has three children. She has a daughter with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. She commutes every day. Nick Pagliocchini, he's our traffic guy. He's very much part of the show. And he's gay and married to his partner of 10 years, Brian. And so I love that we all live in different places and we all have different lifestyles and we come together as a family. And so we can give our listeners different viewpoints and experiences from our different lifestyles. And that was another thing that I loved about building this Coast family, is that we're all so different, but we're all like-minded.
Yes. And in addition to your listeners, I'm going to use a dated word. I was going to say Rolodex, and people are listening. Yeah. What's a Rolodex? But you have quite an extensive Rolodex, because the list of artists and well-known people that just happen to drop in on your show are incredible.
No, thank you. I have to tell you, and remember this, it's been 30 years. So Taylor Swift, the Jonas Brothers, Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, they were kids. And so it's been so great to see them grow up. Miley Cyrus. But then again, there are the Lionel Richies. My first day on Coast 8 years ago, he sent a giant bouquet of flowers and champagne and a note, Lady Gaga. And then there's Chris Martin, and in all of these big artists that we play now, Sam Smith, are all artists that I feel like, wow, you know, we kind of started this journey together, some of us. And so it's fun to see them grow and to stay connected and keep reconnecting. I mean, Ed Sheeran, I can't believe it. Now he's got the kids, and it's, you know, it's things like that. It's just, it's beautiful.
But it also shows how important radio still is to their careers as well.
Oh yeah. I think that they are so appreciative, and we get the best artists coming through here, Gwen Stefani, and just, I don't know. That's the thing about, I've voiced a lot of like different awards shows. And so I'll watch the red carpets, right? And when I see a musical red carpet, like the Grammys, mm-hmm. or, you know, the iHeartRadio Music Awards, there's just a different feeling. And I don't know if it's because I just feel closer to the music and the musical artists, but there's a warmth in the music community. And you know this, that I don't think exists anywhere else. I think that music is a happy thing. It's a bonding thing. And so, well, so are movies and TV shows, but I think there's just something about the musicality that brings people closer together than in other industries. And then we're so lucky that we're here on radio. We can break their songs and have them come and tell a story and do it live and take live fan questions and, you know, hear their stories.
It's great. It's wonderful. So being this successful show also means that advertisers love being associated with you and your brand. And as we all know, we value those relationships very much with advertisers. And Ellen, if we were talking to a group of advertisers right now, what would you say to them about why they should be including radio in their marketing plans?
I would say because we can express directly to that consumer who is captive, usually in a car, at work, streaming, that we can get your message directly mm-hmm. to them. And I have to tell you, my happiest collaborations have been the annuals, the ones who go in for the 52 weeks a year, who interact with us, who freshen their copy, who give us interesting facts about the company to talk about, who are constantly interacting with us. And I believe, again, it's the transfers of emotion. I've had some really great partners through the years. Mercedes, you can see it's on my logo here. Also Cunard Cruises, Apple TV. I think that, again, when you're hearing someone on the radio talk about an experience they've had with a product or why you should get that product, you're getting the genuine, authentic report so to speak, of it's not a commercial, it's not scripted. It's usually hear your bullet points, talk about your experience with this product. I'd never cruised before. I went on a Cunard cruise. I'm blown away. I can't say enough about it. So it's one of those things. And on our show, we walk our walk. We, you know, we use the product. We endorse products that we love. We're really, really lucky that we get to do that. And I just think it's super effective when you're listening to someone who maybe you've known for years, who loves this product, you might go check it out. And I think that the frequency of the message is also so important. I think with all things, relationships, TV shows, people give up too quickly sometimes. And I mean, if you really want to
get that message. Oh, to determine if it's successful or not?
Yeah, commit. Uh-huh. I think commitment.
That's interesting. Do you have any advice for advertisers who are considering doing an endorsement with a talent? Because you talk about the importance of, you know, long-term making that commitment, but you've had so much success. What can you share with other advertisers about how they should be thinking about endorsement advertising?
Make it fun and make it meaningful. Mm. And I would even reverse those, make it meaningful and then make it fun, because you can hear it in the person's voice. You can hear sincerity and you can hear insincerity. And I think that when you've got an advertiser that really clicks with your endorser, that's going to get the message across. My partner here, Ryan, he loves pickles. So now he's endorsing pickles. Oh. And the commercials are great. We get all kinds of people calling us with pickle facts, and they bought pickle clothing. And I mean, it's just when you love it, that message is going to get through. So envy apples. I was talking about my favorite apple on the air one morning. I said, I bought these apples the other day and they're the most perfect apple. And they're so crisp and they don't turn brown. And it was an envy apple, and envy heard it. And then they became our partner. And I love to talk about those apples because they're great apples. And so I think when a person hears enthusiasm, and if it's something meaningful that helps people or that will make your life better, how can you go wrong? I mean, really, with a live message.
Well, you can't be more authentic than that. I love that. Well, we have a campaign where we talk about radio works because, and from your position, if you could just complete that sentence, radio works because?
Radio works because of the connection and the connectivity, the transference of emotion. That's why radio works. You can't get it anywhere else. You really can't. I mean, it's this live companionship connection that you can make. And I think that that is what we have above all, above everyone else, above every other medium.
And radio matters because?
Radio matters because it's the only place where you can go to get that live connection and companionship. There's no other place.
And one last question, Ellen. So we hear so much about audio being at an all-time high, and we can have access to audio on so many different platforms. Where do you see the future of audio going? And, you know, how do you see that changing?
Well, I think it's just going to keep growing. I mean, there are so many different formats. There are so many different ways where you can get your audio. We're on demand. You can listen to our show anytime you want. We're live in the mornings. Yes, every morning during the week. And then on our Saturday show, but you can have it on demand anytime, anywhere you want. So I think that that's only going to get easier and more widespread, where it's like a, remember when we used to just watch TV channels and now we can stream anything. Right. And now with radio, it's the same thing. It's one destination and there it is, like this menu of anything you want. You know, you go on the app, the iHeart app, there's hours and hours of listening there. And I think that that's only going to grow.
And podcasts continue to grow. And I know that's something that you're involved in as well.
Mm-hmm. I have a podcast, Women We Love, and we feature women who've done remarkable things. We have had everyone from astronaut to directors to cancer, life-saving doctors, oncologists. And we're about to launch another one that's stories of transformation called Rise Above. My mom used to always say Rise Above. And for instance, we know a photographer, he photograph sharks. He only has one leg because a shark took off his leg. And now he works for Nat Geo and he's won all kinds of awards. So we're taking these stories of transformation and people who have risen above for our next podcast, Rise Above. So I'm a podcast junkie freak. I get lost in podcasts. So I'm really excited every time we get a chance to, you know, to do another podcast.
So other than your own, do you have a favorite you can share with us?
I'm a crime junkie. And also I love Stuff You Should Know. That's my number one addiction.
Well, I can't close without asking. You were going to start out as a veterinarian. How many animals do you have?
I had three dogs. We just lost one.
Oh.
Yeah. She was a chihuahua. She got old, but she lived a long, beautiful life. And then I have a puggle and Australian shepherd, but I'm so drawn to animals. My dad lives in Colorado and he has bears and deer and there are wild horses, you know, out his back door. So I get my fill of large animals there, but now I just don't have to birth any of them. So that's nice.
Well, the animal's loss is certainly radio's gain. And we are so thrilled that you chose radio.
Thank you. You are so nice. You are so supportive. And I love being on this podcast with you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
With an incredible career supporting not one, but two very well-known radio hosts, for the last 8 years, Ellen Kay has been waking up Los Angeles with her own supporting cast. Her show is purpose-based with a focus on making sure that she enhances people's lives. And as she said, it feels so good to be able to use a radio show to give love to the community that the show has built and continues to grow. She's transferring emotion every day and is a true live connection with her listeners.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.